Chapter 37. A Pirate in Dominica. "Welcome aboard, and thanks for flying with us," the voice crackled over the intercom as the plane slowly edged along the tarmac of San Francisco International Airport. "Just in case, a life vest is located under your seat." Ah, yes. The ominous "what to do in case of an emergency" warning. A cautionary tale that served as the perfect allegory for Ross, who sat in the middle of the plane, nervously thinking about the last 2 hours and the next 2 weeks. Ross had expected an easy morning with some last-minute packing for his trip. But instead, DPR had woken up to the discovery that the Silk Road was under attack by hackers, who had brought the servers to a halt. To fend off the attack, Ross had been frantically working with Smedley, his lieutenant programmer, all morning. "I think we should install that waffle so we can see the results from ModSec," Smedley wrote, as he tried to figure out what was happening. "Everything with a .txt extension can go into /etc/modsecurity/. "Let me think," DPR replied, frantic as the clock ticked down to his flight. "Disable everything." "Okay. We'll need MySQL, yeah?" The morning had gone on like this for a couple of hours, and then Ross had no choice but to set off for his trip, leaving Smedley responsible for fending off the hackers. For Ross, that was all irrelevant now. Poor DPR would not be able to log on to the Silk Road for at least 6 hours, until his next layover. He'd just need to trust that Smedley and his team of employees, whom he was paying between $900 and $1,500 a week for their services, had it under control. Sleep. That's what he would do. He would need it when he landed. As the plane leveled off at 35,000 feet, Ross leaned back in his seat and closed his eyes. While he could have easily afforded to buy a Learjet or two and fly private, he had instead chosen to lie low and travel commercial. As a result, the travel alone for his trip was going to last almost 2 days and take him more than 4,000 miles away from San Francisco. First, he had to stop in Atlanta, Georgia, then catch a connection to San Juan, Puerto Rico. The following day, groggy and tired, he would take a small prop plane over a dozen tropical islands until he arrived in the Commonwealth of Dominica, smack in the middle of the Caribbean. This wasn't a vacation. It was his trap door, his out. The final touch of an escape plan that had been in the works since he'd begun his security overhaul months earlier. A what-to-do-in-case-of-an-emergency scheme. After months of research and seeking the advice of Variety Jones, it turned out the Commonwealth of Dominica, where citizenship can be picked up for an investment of around $75,000, would serve as the perfect place for Ross to hide the dread pirate Roberts from the Phoebes. It was also the ideal spot for Ross to stash his millions of tax-free dollars without Uncle Sam asking where all that money came from. The entire trip to Dominica was an exhausting slog. Ross would deboard a plane and find a private corner in the airport to open his laptop so that DPR could log on to the Silk Road and wage war against attackers before rushing off to the next flight. This went on again and again until Ross finally landed in the tropics. He stepped off the plane to see a tiny airport with a blue roof surrounded by tentacle-like palm trees. The taxi from the airport took almost an hour to get to the Fort Young Hotel on Victoria Street, where Ross was staying. When he arrived, he checked in, logged onto the site, and was immediately relieved to discover that Smedley had managed to squelch the assault against the Silk Road. Everything was back to normal, for now. Ross closed his laptop, crawled under the soft white sheets on his bed, and slept for 14 long hours. When he woke up, sounds from the Caribbean were waiting outside his window. Birds, seagulls, pelicans, and colorful parrots talked among themselves, as the sound of the water washing over the rocks below trickled into the hotel. He walked out onto his balcony and looked off to the right, where the cruise ship dock sat empty. To his left, he could see Champagne Beach and the top of Point Michel. It should have been the perfect morning in paradise, but when DPR went online, he found himself back in a living hell. While Ross had slept, the attackers had returned with a vengeance, and the Silk Road was completely incapacitated. A hacker who went by the moniker J.E. had emailed DPR and demanded a $10,000 Bitcoin bounty to stop the assault. DPR messaged his consigliere, Variety Jones, and asked what to do. Pay, VJ counseled. After all, $10,000 was nothing to DPR these days. Considering the Silk Road was now, on average, facilitating $250,000 in sales each day, an hour of the attack was costing DPR more than the hacker's measly ransom fee. The $10,000 fee soon turned into a demand for a $25,000 payoff. Reluctantly, he sent the money. Had to swallow my pride there, DPR wrote to Jones after transferring the bitcoins to the aggressor. But the site was back alive, again, just for now. Before the pummeling resumed, there was a lot of work to do to plug holes in the ship. VJ said that he would work with Smedley to get everything back in order and prepare for new assaults. Take some time to meditate, Variety Jones told DPR. Get centered and shit. Ross was grateful that the relationship between the two men was now back at its peak, and they had started offering affectionate quips to each other once again, especially when they signed off the site at night. Love ya, smiley face, Dredd would write to VJ, who replied, Dude, you know I love you too, eh? At other times, they would end the day with smooches and shit and a smoochy-boochie back. So when Variety Jones told Dredd to go and meditate, that's exactly what Ross did. He closed his laptop and set off through the hotel in search of a jacuzzi. The resort was a stunning 300-year-old inn that sat along the edge of the island. On the roof, there was an infinity pool, and next to it, a steaming hot tub. Ross slipped into the frothy water, his body feeling lighter under the weight of two worlds sitting on his shoulders. As he peered at the splendid Caribbean Sea, he took a deep breath, and calmness enveloped his mind. These types of chaotic issues, like hackers and ransoms, didn't bother Ross for long. In many respects, he had started to enjoy them. How lucky are we to get these problems? He had written to VJ. I always wanted big problems on my plate. Never knew if I'd get there. And such problems, he explained, had Ross thinking about his legacy and what he would leave behind when he was gone. Winning the drug war is going to be easy, Jones said. I think that's more or less a foregone conclusion, Ross replied. DPR wasn't the first pirate to visit Dominica. For hundreds of years, it had been home to real raiders, the ones who hid their booty in the caves around the archipelago. Now pirates like Dredd could hide their digital wealth in bank accounts around the islands, without worrying about the U.S. government reaching in and grabbing any of it. My top priority right now is getting a new citizenship, Ross had told Variety Jones, who had in turn counseled, Make sure your plan includes at least two backup locales. While Ross was in Dominica, he had also started exploring other countries, including Italy, Monte Carlo, Andorra, Costa Rica, and even Thailand, as alternate places to live if he went on the lam. But disappearing came with its consequences. Ross worried about those closest to him and whether he could handle never seeing them again. I grew up here, he said to VJ about leaving the United States. My family is here. And more important, he admitted, one day he wanted to start his own family. The worst part is that I have no one to talk about this stuff with, Ross wrote. It just bounces around in my head. Jones knew that feeling better than anyone, and he counseled his friend as best and as sternly as he could. "Best advice I can give right now is to plan on a few years without emotional attachments," Vijay wrote. "Exes can put you in jail for life." "I'm not complaining about any of this," Dredd wrote back, noting that this was a great fucking problem to have. Over the following 2 weeks, Ross tackled his objective methodically. The process of getting citizenship wasn't as easy as dropping a bag of $100 bills or a thumb drive of bitcoins on someone's doorstep. Ross had to gather letters of recommendation from some longtime Texas friends, telling them that he was exploring citizenship in Dominica because there were some interesting tax opportunities for non-U.S. citizens. Then there were official forms to fill out, documents to submit, background checks, and even a medical exam. All annoying but necessary officialdom Ross had to go through for the sake of DPR and his future, should he have to follow his emergency plan. When he wasn't dealing with his citizenship application, Ross made friends in Dominica. There was Lou, a mid-30s sinewy local island woman who showed him the coves and shanty towns and poured him lots of liquor and Coca-Cola drinks, a Dominican specialty. He spent time at the beach, kicking a soccer ball back and forth with Kemma, another local. He swam in the Lagoon River at sunset, then spent the evening under a gazebo on Purple Turtle Beach, eating barbecue, plantains, and rice, partying late into the night as the sound of the waves trickled onto the shore in the distance. It really was paradise. When his new friends asked Ross what he was doing in the country, he simply replied, "I'm here on business." Sadly for Ross, that wasn't far from the truth. He was forced to spend more time than he would have liked on his trip, dealing with the growing pains of the site. Ross had to oversee customer support tickets that seemed endless, with people complaining about drugs not arriving on time, the site being too slow, or harassment on the forums. There were more hackers to fend off, with even larger ransoms, the feds to hide from, and his employees to inspire. Fudge, this was hard work. But Ross's bank account was brimming with his bounty. When things were difficult, all he had to do was look at the spreadsheet with those numbers, and those numbers would look back at him, the ultimate pep talk to keep going. Thankfully for DPR, during this particularly tumultuous moment, there was relief in sight. Silk Road Movie Night. Inspired by the clubs he had joined back at Penn State, and as a remedy for his loneliness, Ross had started Movie Night on the Silk Road, as well as the Dread Pirate Roberts' book club. For tonight's film, DPR had instructed everyone on the site that on Friday the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, they should simultaneously press play on the movie V for Vendetta, with a link to download the film. The movie, DPR told his shipmates, was about a country under occupation by a police state and a vigilante known only as V, a masked marauder who fights against the government. Sure enough, at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, people from all over the world, including those in America, Thailand, and Australia, pressed play on their laptops as the picture began. And on the island of Dominica, Ross sat in his hotel room watching the film, enamored by its message. It was as if some of the lines had been written by DPR himself. "People should not be afraid of their governments," V says in the film. "Governments should be afraid of their people." Over the following week, as DPR worked on the site, he was invigorated by the message in the film. But unlike V in the movie, Ross had a different goal in mind. He was making money, lots of it. If the Silk Road had been valued as a startup in Silicon Valley, it would now easily have been one of those fabled unicorns worth $1 billion or more. Venture capitalists would have been salivating to meet with the site's CEO and invest millions more in the company. While most startups are in the red for the first few years of their existence, the Silk Road had mushroomed to be worth more than the value of the entire country Ross was visiting right now, Dominica. But for now it wasn't a company. It was an illegal entity. It didn't have a CEO. It had a leader who was a pirate. A pirate who at this moment was packing his bags at the Fort Young Hotel, preparing to leave paradise. After 2 weeks on the island, with his citizenship application now going through the system, it was time for Ross to return home. The trip back to the United States took almost 2 days, Ross finally touching down at San Francisco International Airport after the 4,000-mile journey. On the surface, it seemed that the trip had gone unnoticed, that the dread pirate Roberts had slipped in and out of the United States without detection, which was true. But Ross wouldn't be so lucky. As an American customs official swiped his passport into a digital scanner, Ross William Ulbricht didn't know that his name and where he had just traveled from were now being converted into a million ones and zeros, or that this information was now traveling from the customs official's computer across the country, in mere milliseconds, through the same wires that enabled people to buy and sell drugs on the Silk Road, and landing in a database that belonged to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security.